This episode of the Mighty Parenting Podcast is sponsored by The Great Courses Plus. The Great Courses Plus is an amazing streaming service my family loves. They have courses and lectures that are taught by world-leading professors, and they explore every topic you can think of. And these are not just a few minutes. These are really interesting in-depth learning and lectures. I am right now working on a Tai Chi course, which I have been wanting to learn for a long time. And this is a format that I'm actually able to learn it in and enjoy it and appreciate it. There are courses for every age and curiosity, including a special section for high school or college students. And they're designed for anybody who wants to learn for the fun of it, or if your child needs a little extra help with some of the school subjects, they have it in there. And not only can you watch on the computer, they have a Great Courses Plus app, so it's available on every device. You and your family can continue your journey as lifelong learners simply by signing up for the Great Courses Plus. They're offering my listeners an entire month free, so you have a whole month to check it out, see what it's about, and find courses that you love. To get that started, just go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/mightyparenting. And that plus is spelled out P-L-U-S, thegreatcoursesplus.com/mightyparenting. When you get your free month set up, let me know what you and your family are watching. I'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, stress relief coach, emotional wellness speaker, and host of the Mighty Parenting podcast, where we help you focus on relieving stress and creating emotional wellness for your family through all kinds of ideas and inspirations, covering every topic that you want to know about with your teenager. Today's show is sponsored by Versity Blood Donation Centers. And I want to thank you guys because when I talked to Tara from Versity, she said that the response to their request for donations was great. However, blood has a shelf life. So what we're asking of you today is that you go online to versity.org and make an appointment to donate. We're counting on you to help out with that. And the really great thing is that donating is actually a way for your family to volunteer together, to give back together. Everyone who meets the criteria can donate blood together and just make sequential appointments for your family when you go online. Maybe you have a younger teen who can't donate yet, but they can still be part of the process. Maybe they can go online and make the appointments and kind of organize people's calendars. Maybe they can make lunch or dinner while you are out donating. And it's something that you can discuss as a family. And you'll hear in today's interview just how important those types of conversations can be. Speaking of today's interview, I wanted to do a show on family volunteering. One of the things research shows us is that helping someone else makes us feel good, and that lowers our stress levels. So volunteering can actually lower our stress levels. Plus, it teaches our kids about compassion and empathy, which is something that we definitely want them to learn. And it also gives us time together and strengthens our family bonds, which is good for our kids and for us. Like I said at the beginning, we see that strong family bonds are good for our kids. Those are kids who do better. And strong relationships are good for our mental health and well-being as well as our kids. So, as I was planning the show, I realized I already have the exact information I wanted to share with you. It was in an interview that I conducted on my prior show. If you're a longtime listener, you may have heard, I'm not sure if I've talked about it on here, but I had a show that I did before this one where I interviewed guests as well. So I decided to pull that interview and I am sharing it with you here today. The conversation is with Jenny Friedman from Doing Good Together. And Jenny and I are going to explore fun and simple ways for families to volunteer together and a little bit about the impact of that. And Jenny even mentioned some things that you can do from home. On their website, I looked up and they now have a section specifically addressing volunteering during coronavirus. So again, these are things that you can do from home. So don't think about volunteering in the little box that you normally might think of. Kick back, relax, and get maybe a little bit different perspective on family volunteering. As promised, we are going to be talking about doing good things today. We have Jenny Friedman joining us. Jenny has worked as both a teacher and a clinician, and she has a passion for helping parents and families. She is the founder and executive director of Doing Good Together. It's a Minneapolis-based nonprofit organization that empowers families to raise caring, engaged children. And although they're based in Minneapolis, of course, all of their work is available on the web, so all of us can join in and get these great benefits that Jenny is bringing to us. Jenny has written more than 100 articles on parenting, child development, and education for magazines such as American Baby, Parenting, and Parents. Additionally, she wrote The Busy Family's Guide to Volunteering, and she co-authored Doing Good Together, 101 Easy, Meaningful Service Projects for Families, Schools, and Communities. As the executive director of Doing Good Together, Jenny has the opportunity to help organizations develop family volunteer programs, as well as helping families like you and like me find family-friendly service projects. Today, she's going to be talking to us about that, sharing some insights, some inspiration, and some tips for doing family service and utilizing that to get the things that you want in your life. So, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I love what you're doing, and it was such a great fit for Heartfelt Holidays because certainly at Christmas, but all year long, I'll hear parents saying, I want to help my kids see the beauty in giving. I want my kids to learn how to give back. Or even parents, you know, that's something that sometimes goes by the wayside when we have kids because we don't know how to find time to do that. And you have taken down all of those obstacles. So I love what you are doing over at doinggoodtogether.org. It's just fabulous.
Thank you. We love our
Before
work.
We
love our work.
And it shows. It really does. And before we get into some of the what's and the nuts and bolts and dealing with some of the logistics that, of course, families run into, I'd like to talk a little first about more of why you're doing this. You know, why spend so much time and effort helping families do this? You know, what are the benefits for families when they work together on service projects?
Sure. You know, one of the reasons, I guess, that we're so passionate about what we do is because we see that there are multiple benefits for families to spend some time together with their children giving back. First of all, it's a great hands-on way to pass on key values to children, things like tolerance, community responsibility, compassion, kindness, all those things that we want our children to have. We also know from research that giving back makes people happier and healthier, even means a longer lifespan for people who spend time giving back. We also believe that it builds stronger families. And I've talked to so many families who spend time giving back with their children. And what they've told me is that it ends up sparking conversations with their kids that they never would have had otherwise. And so that builds this deeper connection between family members. I think that is really heartening for families to have that opportunity. I think it definitely makes kids more grateful. And I think for communities benefit too, because we know that when families spend time volunteering, that those children grow up to be much more engaged citizens. They're two or three times more likely to be engaged as adults as those children who didn't spend time doing this when they were young. So, and I could go on and on. There's so many benefits in terms of teaching critical thinking, teaching responsibility, empowering kids to know that they can make a difference even at a young age means that they're much less likely to be cynical about making changes they see need to be made as they get older.
It is really interesting to listen to you talk about this, and my brain's kind of looking at this. And one of the things that came to me, I mean, I think that it's fairly intuitive and we can go, yeah, I can see where by doing volunteering together, by giving back together, doing projects together, I can see easily as a parent where that teaches values. But you also brought up something else, which is soft skills that our kids can learn and we can also expand and grow. You know, we're talking about our kids, but if we're out doing these projects together, we may well be learning new skills and things along the way.
I think that's absolutely true. We definitely frame it as a way to raise caring, compassionate children, but I think everybody in the family benefits when you do this. And I agree with you. You're not only teaching those values, which are so important, but you're teaching critical thinking, how to problem solve, what kinds of things work and don't work when you're out there solving real world issues. So I think all those kinds of skills impact children and benefit children and the adults in their lives both.
Well, I just got back from, well, several college weekends. My baby, my youngest, is heading off and she's been evaluating colleges. And so while she goes and does her student thing, there's always the parent presentation. And particularly at the smaller schools, the liberal arts schools, that is exactly what we are paying a lot of money to have them teach our children. Critical thinking, problem solving, those skills. And in one of the colleges we were at, they pay a lot of money to participate in some testing programs to find out how they are doing. And off the top of my head, I can't remember, but there were four key areas, and two of them were critical thinking and problem solving. Another was reasoning. And they are paying a lot of money to track how well they're teaching kids to do that. And here you have this incredible opportunity for our kids to start learning that young, and we'll go there in a minute too. I don't want to hit that quite yet, but this is a life and a growth experience in so many different ways. And if we need to, sometimes in our busy world, we almost feel like we have to justify taking time for certain things. So I think as a parent, if you feel like you have, if you're going, oh, we don't have time for this, we have so many things we're doing. And if your kids are older and they're hitting those high school years and they're trying to build a college resume and all that, here is a great way to do that. And for them to be able to go into an interview and say, you know, I was out there solving real world problems. You just said that, Jenny, that, you know, you're out there solving real world problems. And here is where I utilize some of my skills. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Yes. And I think, you know, more and more colleges certainly are looking at that as the kinds of experience they really want their students to be coming into school with. So I think it's certainly we're not doing it with the idea that it builds a resume, but
no.
I think absolutely that is part of it, because I think schools do understand how much value this has and how much it makes a difference in the development and growth of children.
Yeah, you're doing it because it builds stronger families. It makes happier, stronger communities. Those are your core reasons for doing it. This is just a great side benefit. And something
exactly.
I just felt kind of compelled to point out to parents is, you know, hey, these are good things to do with our kids for other reasons, as well as these, I guess you could say, esoteric or touchy-feely kinds of reasons.
Right.
There are some
right.
very concrete things in there as well. But that, you know, going back to that too, we said, you know, happier families, happier, stronger communities. And happiness is this big thing now too. I mean, for goodness sake, countries are now creating happiness indexes and comparing based on how happy their people are. And this is a really simple way to increase happiness for many people all at once.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And I think what they're finding in much of the happiness research is that a big part of that has to do with the meaning in your life. So people tend to be happier and more satisfied when they have meaningful lives. And I don't think there's anything probably that brings us as humans more meaning than feeling like we're making a difference for other people. And, you know, that's true of those for adults, and it's also true of three-year-olds, that when you feel like you're making a difference for someone, you're making someone smile, you're doing something that benefits them, then that comes back to you and you feel better for it. They call it a giver's high, and it's certainly true that it makes us feel good when we do good.
I like that. And yeah, speaking of the happiness stuff, there was a study I saw where toddlers, you know, 2 to 4 year olds, the researchers were measuring the kids' happiness and put them in different scenarios, they had 3 different scenarios. And the children who were able to give away something that belonged to them were the happiest. You know, some kids were just able to give away, some kids didn't get to give away anything. They were just given stuff. Some kids were given stuff and were able to give something to somebody, but it wasn't their thing. It was like from a community bin sort of a thing. And mm-hmm. other kids had something that had been given to them. It was theirs, and they were able to give it, and they had the greatest joy. Now, you just said three-year-olds. So can you really go out with a family and start volunteering when you've got, you know, a 2 or 3 year old? I mean, is there kind of a bottom age that we can start doing this?
No, actually, whatever age your children are right now is the best age to start. And we have lots of ideas for families, even with very young children. So to give you one example, care facilities for the elderly are almost always thrilled to have families come in, even with babies or very young children, because that obviously brings a smile to almost everyone's face, to be able to interact with very young children. And then we have also lots of ideas for service projects you can actually do right at your own kitchen table. So even if you feel uncomfortable going out into the world to do service, there's so many things you can do right at home. And I think one of the things we really want to emphasize is that very much like reading with children, we don't wait to start reading to our children until they're old enough to read themselves or understand every word. We start reading even to very young kids because we want reading to be a habit for them. We want them to know that it's part of an important part of life. And so we start doing it very young to build that habit. And I think giving back is very much the same way. So it's not that your one-year-old or two-year-old is really going to understand the joy they're bringing to others, but you're building that habit into your family at a very young age, and your kids will look back knowing that it was always part of what you did together as a family. And I think that has an enormous amount of value.
I love that. I love that we can start at any time. Even you said, you know, even take a baby, you just strap on the baby carrier and go. Can you maybe give us a few more simple things that we can do, some kind of concrete ideas if, you know, we're listening and we're excited and we're like, yes, I want to start doing something right now?
Yes, absolutely. Because I do want to emphasize that, you know, whether you have really 5 minutes or 5 hours, or whether you have a toddler or a teen, that there's easy, simple ways to make this part of your life. And we have a lot of these projects on our website, so people can check them out there. But just to give you a couple ideas of very simple ways to start getting involved, there's a great website organization called Color a Smile. And if you go to colorasmile.org, you can see that this organization takes children's crayon drawings and passes them out to our troops and to isolated elders and to Meals on Wheels recipients. So you and your kids can sit down and just draw pictures for, let's say, 15 minutes and mail them off to this organization, and they'll pass them out to somebody who will then have them to hang on their wall and cheer them up. And if you go on the Color a Smile website, you can actually read your children the thank you letters that they get from people who get these children's crayon drawings. So here's a very simple thing. You don't have to sign up with anyone. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just really sit down with your kids on a Saturday morning for 15 minutes and do something that makes a positive difference for somebody else. There's a similar organization called Send Kids the World, and they feature children with serious life-threatening illnesses. And they have a photo of the child and a little biography. And you can sit with your children and make a greeting card for one of these children and send it to them to help cheer them up, because they're very eager for some happy mail. Another thing that can just take 15, 20 minutes of your time and your family's time. But again, you can spark those conversations with your children about why it's important to do for others and what kind of difference we can make in other people's lives. So we have lots and lots of simple ideas like that on our website that you can find.
That is really neat. And I'm thinking too, like with Color a Smile, you mentioned different organizations that distribute that artwork. So that's also a natural lead-in if you have children of various ages. You know, maybe the little ones are coloring pictures for Meals on Wheels, and you have an 18-year-old who's actually delivering meals, or, you know, you can even pick a family service project where you don't necessarily all go and do it at the same moment all the time, but perhaps you're working with one group. We tried to do something like that with extended family, where we had people in three different states, and we were trying to kind of go, what can we do for Christmas besides giving each other money? And we said, you know, let's donate to a charity. But then we started looking at going, well, can we all support a charity? Like, everybody could go work on Habitat for Humanity project in their own area during that summer, you know, and we just say, everybody go do that. And it's neat because even though you don't get that extra boost of working side by side, you still all had a similar experience, and you come back together and you talk about it and you share about that experience, which makes it grow as well. So that's kind of neat. Yeah. I like that. I like those ideas. And as far as getting kids involved when they're older, you know, we've talked a little about the really young kids. Have you seen people trying to get teens involved and have any suggestions for doing that? Because some teens will be all over that. I have one that loves to volunteer for anything. I always joke we're going to get a t-shirt that says, you know, to get a t-shirt made up that says we'll do anything for a t-shirt and a smile. But, you know, we have another who, while she doesn't have anything against it, it doesn't get her all, you know, hyped up and jumping up and down if we were to mention going and doing something. Not that she wouldn't go do it, but do you have tips for getting teens involved and making it a good experience for them and the whole family? Because, you know, one sullen teenager can ruin the experience for the whole family.
I think the key with as children get older is to make sure that they're involved in making the decision about what you're doing. So I think all of us, and teens particularly, are going to be much more invested in what you do if they feel like they've had a voice. And especially if teens have a particular interest or passion. So, for example, if your child is an animal lover, then a project around animals, spending time at the Humane Society or creating animal toys to deliver, or those kinds of projects are probably going to be much more interesting and exciting for them than something that doesn't match their interests and their passions. So there's such a variety of possibilities that I think it's really worthwhile to have a conversation with your child first about what excites them, what interests them, and then find a project that works around that. And the other thing I think is if you're going someplace to volunteer, let them bring some friends along, because obviously teens love being with their friends, but also it's a great way to inspire other families to make this part of their lives, because they have a good time, then their friends go home and tell their parents, and I've actually seen it happen where then that family starts volunteering as well. So it's a great way to kind of spread the kindness message to others as well if you include
a little snowball effect there. Okay,
like
that.
Exactly.
I've also noticed, you know, you just mentioned a couple of different times about having these conversations and kindness conversations, and you mentioned the idea of books and reading to our kids and how we use that to develop a habit. But I also noticed that you talk about books and you bring that into this. It's not always about going out and doing necessarily a service project. You have other pieces to the doing good together puzzle. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So for us, we don't want service to become something that people just go and do and check off their to-do list. We really feel like the conversations, the reflection, on giving back isn't as important as the project itself. So books, children's books, are a great way to make those conversations happen. So we give lots of ideas of books that are around different themes. So there might be books that talk about hunger or homelessness or talk about environmental issues, but in the context of a story and in a way children can understand. So whether or not you're doing a project, just reading those books and asking questions of your children around those books is a great way to get started in just thinking about the value of compassion, empathy, giving back, service, without really having to go anywhere. But we really believe that those conversations, inspired often by books, are a great starting place for families who want to make this part of their lives. And we have lots and lots of ideas on our website of books that fit into those different categories.
Yeah, we've talked about the website a couple times. It's really an interesting resource. You guys have everything from, well, the other thing before we go there, I wanted to say, as you were talking about books, that could be another way to get the kids excited about the idea of doing a service project and get them thinking about it so that hopefully they can help come up with ideas and, what they might be interested in doing and then making a family decision on what you want to do. So I think the books can play in both, before, during, after, that's kind of a fun idea, especially we are a family of readers. And I mean, we had books in our children's cribs and playpens all the time and spent lots of time doing that. So for me, I definitely see how that would feed in well. But what I was saying is, the website is really an interesting resource. You have these books that you can use, but you also show how you can tie in books with an activity, with a thought process. You even put together a club where it pulls all that together. We only have a minute or two, but could you real quickly maybe tell us what that is and also give out your website so people can grab those resources?
Sure. Our Big Hearted Families Book Club is a subscription. You can subscribe for 1 month or 3 or 6 or for a year. And each month, you would get a kindness theme book along with these conversation starter cards that you can keep in an envelope in the book, a service project that relates to the book that you can do, and then also an original recipe. So it's a way of having a kind of a kindness themed family night that you set aside once a month. And this book club is great for people with kids between about 3 and 9 years old. So we're very careful about the books we select so that they're really books that both inspire kids and families and get them talking about important issues. I think it's a great way to make this happen in your family without having to do a lot of your own legwork, is that we've done it for you with the book club.
Yeah, and if you're a person who likes to do your own legwork on the website, though, you have individual pieces too. Like you said, you have lists of books on different topics, so families can go through and do that. And again, this ties back to other things that I know families are trying to do. I'm just thinking about this one example is a family dinner table conversation. Everyone tells us we need the family table and we need to have conversation, and parents go, sometimes it's so hard to get conversation going. But when you have a project like this that you're working on, it automatically brings that natural topic to your dinner table conversations. So that kind of wraps that around as well.
Yeah.
And could you share the website with us, Jenny?
Sure. It's Doing Good Together, all one word, doinggoodtogether.org. And again, lots and lots of service project ideas as well as resources for families.
Yeah, resources, connecting with local resources, and just really tons of stuff there. Well, thank you so much for all these ideas. It's very inspiring, and I appreciate you taking the time to come and bring that to us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun talking to you.
Mighty parents, remember to visit versity.org, versiti.org, and schedule a donation time. And thank you so much for being here today, for being part of the Mighty Parenting community, for liking, sharing, rating the podcast. So appreciate you guys getting that information out to other parents. Remember that if you're here, you're listening, you are a mighty parent. So you got this. And I will see you next week.